Welcome, everyone, to Paradigm Shifters. I'm Veronica Entwistle, and I have a wonderful guest today who has been shifting our paradigms of how to become well, how to become healthy, how to deal with disease, how to deal with consciousness, and how to deal with our spiritual growth for many, many years now. And I'm just super excited to present to you Dr. Gabriel Cousins, who's going to lead us in the beginning opening prayer. Welcome to the show, Dr. Cousins.
Thank you. And this is a prayer that is about merging the heart and the mind, which the world really needs these days, and the earth and the heavens. And so here it is. Hashem Yakud Kudashar Brihu Ushirate Mi Ilo Ar Imulaya Shemuke Bavke Biyadar Shlom Hashem Kosveo Kolam Amen.
Amen.
So feel that merging of the heart and mind. Okay. Okay. Very good.
I love that. It's wonderful. You can feel it all the way through our body. And we need that, don't we? Because we are pure spirit. I keep falling back into that. We are pure spirit. We got a little bit of a mess on the outside of it. But so how did you get started? You have taught so much through homeopathics and the use of nutrition. And I'd love you to tell a little bit of your journey and also and more about consciousness too. But let's talk a little bit about the physical plane and how you got going on being a doctor and bringing us through homeopathics to, you know, greater freedom in our health.
Sure. So in my first year of life, I had TB, and in 1943, that was considered a death sentence.
Right.
Somehow, with my mother and father's love, I made it, okay? But by the age of four, I knew I wanted to be a doctor. Now, no one in my family had ever been in the medical field, but I knew, for whatever reason, I called the whisper of God, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then later, as that unfolded, I built a heart-lung machine in high school, and it was
you did.
A little bit.
Wow!
And at that time, that was very, very, very new. Mystically speaking, my brother had been older brother who I was very close with had been killed in a car accident, and I somehow was creating life in his bedroom, so to speak. But it won the state science fair. And it was really alive. And then I went to, I always knew I wanted to be a doctor. And then I went to Amherst College, where I played captain of undefeated football team, and really got really good at understanding all about injuries. Okay. Then I went to Columbia Medical School, and it got clear at a different thing that they didn't really know about holistic health. This is in the 60s, okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And finally, as it evolved, I met Swami Muktananda in 1975 and received the awakening of the Shaktipat, awakening of Kundalini.
Oh.
And a little voice rang out as I came on down from the nothing. And it said, you should learn to eat and live in a way that supports the Kundalini. That's actually how I got started in really, really actively teaching it and researching it. So my research was, how do you eat in a way to help yourself become a superconductor of the divine?
Wow.
So by 19, and then I had another, well, then in 1986, I wrote my first book, Spectrum Nutrition, The Rainbow Diet. You know, based on that research. And now my book, now Into the Nothing, is about the total journey. So the holistic view, and I call it the multidimensional, because we have physical levels, emotional levels, subtle plane levels, mental levels, and spiritual levels of who we are. And so I began to evolve a total approach as I worked with clients over the years, also trained as a psychiatrist, family therapist, and couple therapist. So,
well, let me interrupt you for a moment. What's the name of your new book? Is it something about the nothing? Would you repeat that for me?
Into the nothing.
And I'm fascinated. Isn't homeopathics is and you've done that for many years, is an intriguing kind of nothingness, or kind of parallel to nothingness in a way, isn't it? You know, when you take the essence of something.
Well, the homeopathic, I'm a licensed as a homeopathic physician actually in Arizona, as well as a regular medical license in California. But the homeopathy is with energy. So it's working on the second level of that as energy. But the truth is, energy is like a step before the nothing. Okay. And that's so homeopathy, which again, I've been doing since 1973, studying with different homeopathic masters, really is a very important part of what I do, because it's energy. And when I lived in India, we did a lot of homeopathics since people didn't have other medicines. So homeopathy plays a huge role in, let's say, third world countries as well, because it's a whole lot less expensive and very effective.
And instantaneous in some cases. Also, I want to throw back in that Muktananda is one of my great heroes. I've never had the honor to meet him except spiritually inside.
So I lived with him in his traveling ashram for 7 years, and that was how I really developed that a kind of a deeper understanding, receiving Shaktivat, and being empowered to actually give this, awaken this spiritual energy called Kundalini. And in my book, Into the Nothing, I talk about the different levels, because I experienced really all the details. Each chakra has a number of petals, and then there's the subtle, what we call nadis, subtle channels where the energy flows. And when you go back in terms of food, you want to eat in a way, and this is a vegan, basically life food diet, eat in a way that, in a sense, enhances the flow of Kundalini. What I learned by trial and error with people is that meat, fish, chicken, and dairy, and eggs actually block the flow of the Kundalini. So I spent time helping people kind of move into that direction, because they were interested in spiritual life.
So that the dairy and the meat kind of weigh down our ability to go, I don't know, I don't quite understand, but it feels like it makes it much lighter if you eat without them, right?
Well, yeah, let's put it this way. There is a subtle system called nadis. It's 72,000 nadis. They're energy channels through which the Kundalini or the divine energy flows.
Mm-hmm.
What I observed in people is that when they had a heavier diet, meat, fish, chicken, and dairy, and I'm going to just make it another way of talking about it, the energy of death, okay, because the animal has pain, misery, and so forth. When they take that in, it actually clogs those subtle energy channels. There's three central channels, Ida, Pingala, and Sushumna, central channels through which the primarily the Kundalini flows. They seem to be blocked by, the meat, fish, chicken, and dairy, and eggs act as a sludge to this. And the ancient rishis, of course, taught all this at the same time. And we know also in Essenes, the inner circles were basically took a plant-based life food diet, the inner core. So it's not a new concept, is what I'm saying. I just kind of discovered it for myself.
But you applied it to medicine in a way. Hmm?
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
It's very exciting.
Yeah, and then Into the Nothing is really about this journey from 1 year old. And as I say, all I ever learned was about spirituality was from meditation, sacred relationships, okay? and just kind of living this way of life. Actually, playing football was part of it, because one of the things that happens is that when we're in athletics, as it was for me as football, we tend to go beyond our limitations. And when we go on beyond our limitations, we learn a lot about another, let's say, space, put it that way, about who we are and who we aren't. And our walk is between the something, what we call the ma, and the nothing, the blima. And so we have that altering energy going on all the time. Now, the relationship, the homeopathy, I certainly see people make those breakthroughs on the energetic planes that then really opens up and transforms their health. So that's kind of what I have observed in that way.
Mm-hmm. So your perceptions are highly developed as well, are they not?
Yeah, because when you meditate, when I was in India, I was meditating 6 hours a day.
Oh my goodness.
And chanting 4.5 hours and doing the yoga and physical yoga. And I'm still regularly meditate about 2 hours a day and do things that, keep on a vegan, basically 98% life or diet. And that helps you become a superconductor of the divine. And that's what makes it fun. And that's in the evolution of my experience, which is what I explained in Into the Nothing, which is much broader than diet, because you can't eat your way to God. But all these other factors play a role. But one of the things I point out in this is that there is often in our lives an opportunity, or we hear the voice of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a whisper. And I encourage people to follow that whisper. And that's really, I think, very, very important part of the story in a way of how to live. And another point I make out that is important is that the challenges we have in our lives can be seen as poor me, or wow, what a wonderful spiritual opportunity to elevate myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I have clearly chosen in my life, and that's why I wrote the book too, is it that everything, life becomes the teacher. Life becomes the spiritual teacher. And I think that's an important thing.
And you want to feel, can I interrupt you just for a moment? You said something brilliant at the beginning,
sure,
more than
sure.
One thing. But Shaktipat, which you accepted from Muktananda, could you tell people, many people listening to this show will know what that is, but if you could explain it briefly, and I wanted to ask you if that really jump shifts a whole kind of awakening in people, and does it sustain itself in time? And can you just explain a wee bit about it for us?
Sure. Well, it's a great question. So we have the divine energy stored within us.
Okay.
And many people see it at the base of the spine. And if we're ready, then energy from the outside, Shaktipat, which is by look, by touch, by sound, can activate it. So if a spiritually awakened teacher gives an energy to activate it, called Shaktipat, that's what that is, by look, by touch. These days, it's over the internet, so it works by look. And that can awaken the spiritual energy. And that spiritualizing energy, known as Kundalini, or in the East, and in the West, we call it the Raha Kadesh, okay? Or people can call it the Holy Spirit. And it begins to move throughout your whole system, upgrading and spiritualizing the system. So Shaktipat is the initiation that can activate this. It can happen naturally, but that's very rare. Usually it's from a empowered teacher, who's been empowered by their teacher, who's been empowered by their teacher, goes back lineage, which is the case for myself. And that.
And I can feel your energy in an amazing way. I can feel it so strongly. And I'm hoping we get our own version of Shaktipath from this association with you right now.
Okay, well.
That might be asking too much, huh?
No. Let it be. The yo, the first letter out of the nothing, is a yo. And just feel that energy being activated.
Whoa. I sure do. It's lovely. I thank you for that.
So that's what Shaktipath is. Yeah, you're welcome. It's so I've been, at the end of the 7 years, Muktananda empowered me as a person to be able to awaken this energy.
How wonderful. So now I forget what we were doing. Isn't that wonderful? That's because my body is just moving inside in a wonderful way. So... So in terms of like where you're going, you're doing two things. One is you're working evolution, or not evolution, what is it? Your own personal evolution, spiritual development with people. And that in turn creates physical healing as well, does it not?
Yes. It's, people often say, well, you have to do, from the spiritual down to the physical. But it really goes both ways. You can heal somebody in the physical, it opens them up to more spiritual healings. So I've noticed it goes both ways. And I think that's an important thing to understand, rather than saying it only comes from top down.
Mm-hmm.
It can go from bottom up as well.
I like that. Also, here's another thing that I'm quite fascinated about is, as a species, we have the ability to generate our own radiances and pass that on to lift people, even though
yeah.
they don't suspect it. And you think of that sort of thing a lot.
Well, that's what we're, in essence, what I'm talking about is it can obviously can happen naturally,
mm-hmm.
But when you're meditating and you're eating to become a superconductor of the divine with a plant-based diet and, that radiance is happening when the kundalini, the spiritual energy, is awakened even more so it happens. And so, yes, absolutely. And the whole point is for us to become more and more superconductors of the divine so that that energy can help uplift others and literally the whole planet.
Which we really need these days, do we not?
Yeah, for sure. Really,
and not wanting to discuss politics, but that is kind of my politics at a certain level. And you're in Israel right now, and that's quite often a hot spot, that part of the world. Do you find that the spiritual
yes.
residents there, the focus, because they have some wonderful energy vortices, do they not? And a lot of people with the consciousness. Why don't you talk a little bit about Israel?
Okay, so one of the things that I've noticed here is it's more spiritually intense. Now, that can go different ways.
Sure.
I've actually had clients who got what we call Jerusalem psychosis, which means the energy was too much for them and they got out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a higher energy in a sense. The whole place is designated as a sacred spot. Not just the Temple Mount,
mm-hmm.
but there's certain areas in the that are so all of the Israel is an intense sacred energy. So there are many very wonderful people here whose intent is to really uplift the whole planet. We actually did now. This is Aquarian Age, but we did a meditation here, a worldwide meditation. For December 21st, for awakening the spiritual energy on the planet as we've moved into a new 2,000-year cycle. There are a lot of people here who really are a part of that awakening energy and have the intent to really elevate the planet as just part of their commitment to the world. So that I notice. And also I notice people are very strong, and then the positive and negatives of that strength in the right direction is very elevating. I'll put it that way. So I've been coming to Israel back and forth since 1967. So we just finally moved here. We became what we call Eliyah, which is a stepping up. Okay, that's what it means. In 2007, and we just moved here a few months ago more permanently. Really for our own evolution, it wasn't like, I mean, I really liked living in Arizona. It was a real PowerPoint for me, but there was something moving us way before the politics, you know, going on. It's more like, what's the most powerful place to elevate humanity? And that's how I see Israel. And in helping it fulfill that destiny. They say the priesthood to the people, to the world. And so it's kind of on that level. We know that when people gather together and meditate at PowerPoints, we can definitely elevate the circuitry on the whole planet. I've been actually leading worldwide meditations, we call these Tonuen, since 1985.
Wow.
So it gives you an idea, it's about 45 years, 46 years, and it works. We literally do affect. Whenever people meditate together in a group, the amount of crime goes down. For example, in Rhode Island, when meditators came in, crime rate dropped 43%. I mean, violent crime rate. People thought, oh, hoax. You know, next year they came back, 49% drop. But we have the power as human beings to create that light that can elevate the whole world.
And that's Dr. Cousins, that can be over online, can't it? We can connect online with Israel, for example.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have a program going on. I have one with Alive with Dr. Gabriel, and that's all online at this point. And also, I have what we call Shakti Hour. Again, I have kind of a website, drcousins.com, where people can go to all these, you know, get connected. And we also have a Tree of Life community. Because right now, it's really, really important that we support each other. And people are feeling a little isolated, and, you know, it's kind of dangerous to speak out unless you tell the party line. Well, there has to be a place where you can go that's not on Facebook, or it's not on WhatsApp, you know, on Twitter and so forth, where you can share and get support. So I do actually, these are international kind of support systems for people. People really need support at this time, spiritual support, because of how difficult it is in the world. Yeah. That's really part of my mission. And that's partly why I'm here in Israel.
I love it. I'm very excited about what you're doing. Also, this online community, I'd like you to talk about what people expect. What did you call it? It's I'm trying to get to my...
Well, it's really Tree of Life.
That's it.
And it's treeoflife.mn.co. treeoflife.mn.co.
What's the MN?
A Mighty Networks.
Oh, wow. Okay. But you have many, many levels of being involved in that, do you know?
Well, a few. I don't like to make it too complicated. You know, part of it's for free, you know, and you can get, I've got about 350 different videos and, you know, teaching things. And then the Shakti hours for people who are kind of inner members, and they can ask their spiritual questions so they can get them supported. A live with Dr. Gabriel is a more public type thing. People pay a little fee for that. But the whole idea is, how do we keep supporting people?
Mm-hmm.
How do we really, you know, in these difficult times? So I've set up networks for that. I also do Torah teachings from a point of liberation, understanding for people. I do that with each weekly reading called the Parshas. So, and then I'm doing all this reaching out, you know, discussing my book, Into the Nothing, because in a way, Into the Nothing means you go beyond the mind.
I like your football analogy. Yes, I like that. Mm-hmm.
That's right. And you're going beyond the mind, and ultimately, you disappear. And that's what I mean. The Torah teaches you can't know God and live. What it means is that to truly know the divine, one has to merge into it and let go of one's egoic individuality.
Mm.
So it's that's really what the book is kind of like, following the word of God as it takes me through my life. And it's, you know, I discuss sacred relationships because that's also a spiritual path.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are playing back and forth with each other. And when I marry people, it's like, you're entering a sacred, you're entering a spiritual path if you choose to let it be.
Mm-hmm.
If you choose to perceive it as that way. And then that's important. And some people, they're meditating, and that's enough to elevate them. And my work is to support people in all these different ways. That's why I set up, you know, treeoflife.mn.co or just drcousins.com. That's another way to reach it, to be part of that whole process, because that's what's needed in the world today.
Yeah,
we're not just having America having trouble, but the whole world is having trouble. And it's like, okay, there's always the light that needs to rise in that play of light and dark.
So let's go into some kind of more cliched things here. I'm just trying to understand, I think I have a great grokking sense of all these different energies that influence us, that we live in a sea of energies. And sometimes we get restricted,
yes,
or we get stuck in them. And I'm going, what role, and yeah, you could probably explain what karma is and can we step out of it and what's required to step out of the energies that cage us, if you will, in terms of our consciousness.
So, okay, that's a great question. So, again, one of the principles that we see in the Torah, it's not talked about that much, is reincarnation.
Okay.
That's talked about a lot in the East, in the Buddhist world. But why is that important? Because it gives us a chance to keep evolving spiritually. So the tasks we are faced with in this lifetime often, let's say, reflect past life. You use the word karma. Well, there's past life karma, there's karma early in this lifetime, and then there's karma present, and we call it in the Torah, we say medad keneged medad, and there's a specific term, which is whatever you're doing is creating something. Now, how do we step out of that? Okay, how do we step out of it? The way people create karma is to be attached to the result of their actions, and we step out of it by saying, I am doing this for the sake of God. Done. I'm not doing it for any other reason. I'm not doing it to make money. I'm not doing it to do this. I'm not doing it to do that. I'm just simply, this is for the sake of God. And that's the key kind of understanding of how we don't create karma in our actions.
I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Isn't love doing that, creating for God without attachments? Isn't that also another way of saying love?
Well, you can love with attachment as well. So, but what I'll talk about a slightly different way.
Okay.
can you see, people get very attached, can be very attached in love. Mm-hmm. They can become very codependent and call that love.
And create karma.
What we're talking about here, and create karma. That's exactly right. But I am talking about something a little different. And when you touch the truth of who you are, the essence of who you are, then from that emanates non-causal. In other words, it's not, it's your natural state. So we have non-causal love, non-causal peace, non-causal compassion, non-causal oneness. In other words, it's coming from you. It's our natural state. It's deeper than the sexual urge. It's deeper than the death urge. It's your primal truth. So the non-causal love, which is the non-attached love, okay, the non-causal peace, the non-causal oneness resides within us as us, and we're activating it when we, you know, we're meditating and we're doing all these, whatever we're doing that to support us in the spiritual path. So that's how kind of where the love comes in. It's part of it. And when you're doing it non-causally, you're not creating karma.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not attached to the results. You're love because you're love, not because you're trying to get something.
Mm-hmm.
Or get a good report card, you know, for, you know, or if you understand I'm using a metaphor.
Oh, yeah, I do understand.
It's just because you're doing it, because it's the truth, because it's the essence of who you are. Non-causal love. And that's what clearly began to evolve in, as I explained it, in the Into the Nothing, my book, because there's an evolution. It doesn't just happen. I mean, it's rare.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that happens over time. You transform, and you're more and more in touch with that non-causal essence of who you are, which is, I call it, you know, connecting to your soul. What's missing today is people have become disconnected to from their soul, and they try to become alive by doing things like, you know, being hateful or being this or doing,
or being
that,
a hero,
know, or rather
something.
Than yeah, whatever that is for them. But this is your natural state.
Mm-hmm.
Non-causal love is your natural state. Non-causal peace is your natural state. Non-causal oneness, non-causal compassion, but it requires a transcending, creating a quiet mind to then transcend it.
Uh-huh.
And that's so what, where we go into the oneness. Go ahead.
I'm just saying that transcendence, or I'm just questioning sort of, the transcendence can take lifetimes, right? Or it can be sped up.
Absolutely. Well,
to our intention,
we all have destinies. But what I outline in my book, Into the Nothing, is what I call the six foundations.
Okay.
So you're eating in a way that you become a superconductor of the divine. We actually have fasting retreats, juice fasting retreats. People go very deep in those kind of experiences like 7-day retreats. Then I talk about sacred dance, and my wife teaches the tri yoga, which I also teach at this point, and tai chi, qi gong, third, service and charity. So for example, I'm involved in humanitarian works in about 42 different countries. Okay, and then fourth, working with a spiritual teacher. If you're ready, most people need a spiritual teacher, myself included. That's why I spent 7 years, well, actually 11 years. I had two teachers that worked together. But the point I'm making is that's important. The fifth, meditating as much as possible, repeating the name of God. And sixth is receiving as much Shaktipat, which we've explained, you know, the energetics. It isn't just the awakening. Every time, with meditation groups, I'm giving that energy out. It just keeps enhancing it. And then I talk about the sevenfold peace, which is an idea from the scene, the sevenfold peace, peace with the body, keeping healthy, peace with the mind, the meditation, peace with the family, which includes sacred relationships as a spiritual path. Then, and also the challenge of intimacy, which is a very powerful way to help people grow. Then peace with the community. That's a bigger challenge these days in general. And then peace with, in a sense, all creation. Native American way, we say peace with the living planet, the rock people, peace with the plant world, peace with the animal, the flying ones, and then peace with all the cultures. And then peace with ecology. Say, I call it sacred ecology, and peace with God. Now, all these ways of living, and this is what I talk about in my book, we start to create a lifestyle that brings us to liberation. First, it quiets our mind. When the mind is quiet, and all these things I'm talking about, key to create a quiet mind, then we begin to transcend the mind. And then we're able to be into, move into the nothing. So it's a little bit of a progression. And it may take lifetimes. And, mm-hmm. well, it usually does. So that's why, you know, incarnation, which we think is just an Eastern thing, but very, very clearly is talked about in the Torah in a variety of ways, is part of it. You have to have that so we can evolve over lifetime.
So do you think that when you were a little boy with tuberculosis, that challenge did come through? I'm kind of being, I guess, superficial here, but the challenge would be coming in and facing that challenge right off the bat to evoke the knowledge and the awarenesses that you have accrued through your soul's journey, would you say? I mean, do you think that's part of your
plan? I think it's very perceptive. When I write them on the book, is that got me asking the question, what's the meaning of death? Mm-hmm. I had to face it at 1 year old.
Wow.
And then my brother, and then my, you know, brother's death when I was 16, what's the meaning of death? Mm-hmm. And I kept asking it, and not in a theoretical way to understand. And when I received at age 33, after my mother died, Shaktipat from Swami Muktananda, I did go into the nothing first time. And then as I came out, I got it. There is no death for the self. We are immortal. The soul is neither born or dies. And so suddenly, wow. So that drove me for 33 years,
mm-hmm.
quite frankly. And then...
The knowing is deep within yourself, isn't it? The knowing of like, oh, I know.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm. You could read about it, but the know it, very different.
Mm-hmm.
And so... it was a driving force, as I point out in my book, into nothing for the first 33 years. It's like, I really need to know this. This is like too much, you know, going on. So that I think was a very perceptive question you just asked.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited for all that you're learning, and we'll definitely be looking into that book. Also doing some of your programs, because that connection with other people is such a, what would you call it? It's like a huge energetic community that stretches over the world.
That's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very well, because we need that. We need that community.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly in this time in the history, humans have always needed community. We've always needed community.
But this is the first time in history where it's been globally possible, right?
Yes.
So easily.
Yes.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
Yes. No, but that's exactly right. Well, you know, relatively. I mean, we had the harmonic conversions in 1987. So, you know, since the mid-60s, it becomes more and more possible to do these things.
It's very
You know, historically... 50 or 60 years isn't a whole lot of time, you know.
But the communications are much easier now than they have been, you know.
Way
here you are in Israel, and I'm in Bellingham, Washington, having a great connection with a lot of other people. That's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a beautiful place up there. I've been there a few times. I have relatives there, and I have a good friend, Kevin Ryerson's up there. And it's like, it is made much easier now. We can talk on the phone. We can do Zoom. We can do this. So it's made much easier.
I think there's a call for us to feel connected. I think it's calling us, don't you think?
Yeah. Yes.
During a time of change, turbulence.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Do you have enough time to finish off with a prayer with us?
Sure. So let's start with, first of all, I want to bless you for your good work in getting this understanding out to the world. I want to bless all the listeners that were for listening and being open to this kind of understanding. And may the whole world be blessed that we create so much light that we transform the darkness into light. And may everyone know and feel contact with their soul and let that soul light expand to bring that love and light to the whole world. Amen.
Oh, man, that's so beautiful. Well, thank you, Gabriel Cousins. Thank you, Doctor, to spend your time and your heart and soul on this evolution. And, that book sounds very wonderful, so I'm going to look into that, Into the Nothing.
Yeah, and then people can... Great, and people can reach me at drcousins.com or putlife.mn.co, and that is the support. We have to support each other. This is the point of radio, your children are so important.
Okay, your phone was funny, so would you please give your address again, because it didn't come in well.
Sure. It's drcousins.com or treeoflife.mn.co.
And that's where we can become part of the community.
That's correct.
Well, bless your heart. And thank you for your blessings and your great work in the world. Thank you so much.
Okay. Okay. Blessings to you.
And thanks for being a paradigm shifter.
Okay. Thanks. Well, I guess we all have our destinies and we got to play out. That's one of them. So,
well, maybe we'll talk again. I'd like that. I'd like to talk with you again if you have time.
I'm happy to. Just kind of set it up.
You bet.
And we'll make it happen, okay?
You bet. Bless
Take
your
care
heart.
And blessings. Blessings to you, and thank you for your good work.
Thank you, and you too.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.